Morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today? So we're on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, and we were discussing the bracha on Bedikas Chametz. And the Gemara offered two opinions about Albir Chametz. If it's Levayer, everybody agrees that's fine. If it's Albir Chametz, then according to one man the other, that's fine. That's called Lahaba Mashma. And the indication of Al is that I'm about to perform the Bedika. And that's exactly what happens. The bracha is recited before the Bedika. According to another Manti Omar, Al is inappropriate because Al is Meikara Mashma. Al means on something that I've already implemented. Now we have a very fascinating question that we touched on in the past, and that's the Rosh. He wants to know, is it permissible to be mafsik b'sicha, sicha meaning an interruption of speaking about something that's not relevant to the bedika, during the course of the bedika? Meaning, one question is obvious. The answer is obvious. There's no room. There's zero tolerance for hefsek sicha between the bracha and the beginning of the bedika. However, once you've begun the bedika, are you allowed to be mafsik after the bedika? After the bedika began. Now, when is the mitzvah fulfilled? What?
You finish your bedika.
Correct. You have to complete your bedika. So now the issue is there hefsek sicha between the beginning of the bedika and the ultimate kiyum of bedika, when he finishes his bedika and he was bodik his last room in the house? The Rosh says there's no hefsek sicha in that case. Once I've accomplished the goal of attaching my bracha to the beginning of the bedika, that's fine. However, the Rosh quotes the Yesh Mefarshim. Let's read it one more time. And he says the following. I gave out this photocopy the other day. I don't know if you have it, but if you do, you can count down 1, 2, 3, let's say about 10 lines down from the top. And he writes the following. Yesh omrim she'ein lebodek ledaber ad sheyigmar abdika. He quotes an opinion that he should not speak out until he completes his bedika. V'yesh mosifim od yosef yomrim shemsach bidvarim v'alma she'eno me'inyan ha'bedika. He interrupts with some discussion that's not relevant to the bedika. Tzarech lachzor ulevarech. He has to repeat his bracha. V'chol zeino nirali. Now the Rosh, in his argument against the Yesh Mefarshim, brings two proofs. The first proof is Midi Dihavi Ayeshiva Besukkah. He makes the bracha Leshe Besukkah. Now he sits down, and then during the course of his Seuda, he has a discussion. He talks about this and that. That's fine. He doesn't have to make another bracha leshe basukah. Then the Rosh gives a second proof, and that's from the bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz before he breaks bread. Then he breaks bread, and in the middle of his suda, he talks about whatever it is. And lo matzinu, when we don't find that there's any problem with a hefsek of sicha. So the Rosh has two proofs. Now, I pointed out yesterday, but today I think I'm a little smarter than yesterday, that the Rosh's second proof from Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz seems to be totally off mark, off base. We have two different categories of brachas. One is called Birchas HaMitzvah, and the other is called Birchas HaNehenim. In the case of Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, on a Suda, then the brachas are Birchas HaNehenim. What does that have to do with the Birchas HaMitzvah? The fact that in Birchas HaNehenim, once I made a bracha, I'm allowed to be mafsik as long as I start my eating, meaning I only have to connect my bracha to the beginning of the achila. That's a fundamental principle, that once the bracha is matir, which means that you're not allowed to be nene, you can't enjoy the benefit of this world without a bracha. Once you've made the bracha, now you go on and you can be nene. So what's the Rush's proof? The proof from Sukkah is a lot more challenging, because in the case of Sukkah, he hasn't fulfilled the entirety of his mitzvah. He intends to remain in the Sukkah for X amount of time, and he's eating his suda in the Sukkah, and yet the mitzvah, the bracha should be chal on the entire mitzvah from beginning to end. So if he's mafsik besicha, then the Rosh is asking, well, what bracha is going to cover the end of his yeshiva besukkah? That part of his mitzvah is not covered by the bracha. And that's his proof against the Yesh Mefarshim. Now, the Yesh Mefarshim, on a logical basis, are simply claiming the following. We know that there is a concept, and the Rush cannot deny it, of hefsek sicha. That schmoozing, I call it, or talking about the football games, is definitely an interruption. Because the Gemara establishes in Masechta Menachos that if he makes a bracha on his tefillin shel yad, and he recites La Asher Kidshanu Tzilsu Tzoniach tefillin, and then he puts on his tefillin shel yad, if he were to be mafsik b'sicha between his tefillin shel yad and his tefillin shel rosh, he will now have to make another bracha. Now, as Machlokes Rishonim, exactly which bracha he has to make. One shita has it that he has to make al mitzvah tefillin, because he never made a bracha on the shel rosh. And if he was a mafsik b'sicha, he doesn't have to make a bracha on shel. Is there anybody here in this room who does not make a bracha on the shel rosh? Oh, good. I'm not the only one. So we're two people. I thought I was going to be the lone ranger over here. So me and Mitch, did you ever have occasion to make the bracha?
Yeah.
You did. Yeah. Okay, I never made that bracha in my life. I wonder what it feels like. You know? In any event, let's go. I don't know about brisk. Yeah, Chabad. That's the minhag of Chabad, the minhag of Sfaradim, and many, many others. So in any event, let's say you made a bracha, you always make a bracha on Shal Rosh. That's, I assume, everyone else in this room. And the question is, what about Lahaniach? So you never made a bracha Lahaniach on the Shal Rosh. Right? But the Gemara says that if you were sach besicha between the Shal Rosh and the Shal Yad, you're going to have to repeat the first bracha, Lahaniach. Not only the second bracha, but also Lahaniach. So from that perspective, the Yesh Mefarshim of the Rosh have a clear-cut proof, and the Rosh cannot deny it, that there is a concept called Hefsek Sicha. So what is the Rosh going to say about this case? So the Rosh actually addresses this question. He says the following. Lo matzinu sicha davei hefsek, el bein tfilin l'tfilin, says the Rosh. Mishum debracha rishona kaimi nami ahanochas tfilin shel Rosh. The first bracha on hanocha is a bracha that has to cover even the tefillin shel rosh, and he's going to have to recite this bracha again for the sake of the shel rosh. Why is that not a problem? The Rosh says that if I'm mafsik in the middle of my bedika, that's not a problem. But if I'm mafsik between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, I do have to make a bracha. I'm going to have to repeat the first bracha a second time in tefillin shel rosh. Why is that case a hefsek sicha that requires a new bracha? And yes, in the case of B'dikas Chamsi, he doesn't require a new bracha. Jerry, I think you have the answer, but I don't know, can you say it a little bit loud? I don't... I'm trying to read your mind.
Well, in the tefillin, you have two brachas l'chatchila.
Why?
Two separate mitzvahs.
Two separate mitzvahs, correct. Here's the key of keys to understand the Rosh. The Rosh is saying the following. When you have one mitzvah, that mitzvah is continuous. That mitzvah is an entity unto itself. All you have to do is to attach the bracha to the beginning of that entity, and that's gorer, that drags the whole mitzvah with it. So therefore, when you made the bracha on Bedik, or for that matter on Yeshiva Besukah, once the bracha is chal in that yeshiva, the entire yeshiva has one continuous mitzvah, is nichlal, is included and connected to that bracha. In the case of Bedikas Chametz, once the bracha was contiguous, was joined up with the Bedikah, meaning the Tchilas HaBedikah, the entire Bedikah is one entity, because it's one mitzvah and one maisa. Masha Enkin, and Tfilin Shal Yad, and Tfilin Shal Rosh, that's a case of two separate mitzvahs. And I'll give you the classical example of this. Shechita. The man shechts two different animals. How many brachas is he going to make if all things are ideal? Wow. Only one bracha. But if he's mafsik between the first animal and the second animal, then even the Rosh agrees he has to make another bracha. Why? Each shechita is a separate mitzvah. There's no way I can connect and join the two animals into one entity and call it one mitzvah. There ain't no such thing. But in Bedikah, my chiv is vis-a-vis the bias. And the bias is an entity. So even if I divide up the Bedikah into many, many different parts, I have 10 rooms in the house, all those 10 rooms are part of one mitzvah. So the Rush holds that the only tziruf, the only connection I need is to the beginning of the mitzvah, then the mail of the brachas chal of the entire mitzvah, because the entire mitzvah is one flow, one continuous entity, indivisible. But if you have two different mitzvahs, the Rush is also going to understand that now I need a tziruf to the second mitzvah. How do I combine my bracha to the second mitzvah? The answer is because there was no sicha. As long as there was no sicha, then the bracha connects to the second mitzvah. David?
In the case of sukkah, the mitzvah, I believe, is to dwell like you dwell in your house. When you go in your house, you may shmooze about the football game.
Right.
So why would that be a hefsik in my dwelling in the sukkah?
So here's the Rush's argument. The Rush is saying that if you hold like the Yesh Mefarshim, look at the Yesh Mefarshim. The Yesh Mefarshim are not willing to accept this concept that the entire mitzvah is one continuous mitzvah. They assume that even one mitzvah can be broken down into its various component parts. And they require a positive tziruf, meaning to connect the bracha to every single part of the mitzvah. And therefore, in Yeshiva Besukah, how do I connect the bracha before the shmuzing with the part of the yeshiva that's after the shmuzing?
And I think that's why he brings Birchas the Suda also, because we eat other things in the Suda that we really should make a bracha on, but we don't because we made a motzi. So maybe that's where he's...
I wanted to say it like this, Asher, but maybe it's exactly what you're saying. That we think that the hamotzi is related to the bread that I eat. No. If it was related to the bread that I eat, then I'd have to make a separate bracha of every single thing that I eat. What is the bracha of hamotzi chal on?
On the suud.
Exactly, on the suud as an entity. What the Rush wants to prove from the bracha of hamotzi is that suud is an entity. And he's not equating birchas hamitzvah with birchas hanenim. He's just saying that I have a precedent in birchas hanenim that if you have a way of linking together various achilos and sewing them together into one entity, for example through suuda, if the bracha is chal in the beginning of the suud, the memel is chal in the entire suuda. And the same thing applies according to the Rosh in the mitzvah. If the bracha is chal in the beginning of the mitzvah, the mail is chal in the entire mitzvah.
According to the Rosh, in the two houses.
In the case of two houses, that would mean that each house is a separate mitzvah, and therefore, so now we have to ask the following question. How do we define the mitzvah of Bedikah? Is the mitzvah of Bedikah what we call a chovas gavra, which means that the gavra has to guarantee that he has no chametz in his possession? Or is it a chovas bias, and each bias is a separate machayev? If each bias is a separate machayev, then I need to link up each bias with the bracha, and any hefsek between the two. And it's very interesting, because the Sefer HaMakna writes that if there's halicha, if he has to go a certain distance, don't ask me how long of a halicha it is, I don't know the details, but if there's halicha from one bias to the other, then even if he wasn't mafsik, he's going to have to make a second bracha, because he understood that the chova of bedik is on the bias. Michael, and I'll be with you. I just want Michael was
in different rishonim the list out the tariyag mitzvot. How many of them list the tefillin as two?
All of them. I don't know of anyone who denies that. Yeah, tefillin is two different mitzvot.
So in which case, why didn't you make one bracha? The two mitzvot.
Oh, so it's like shechita. When you have the same kind of a mitzvah, again, we have to understand what that means, the same kind of a mitzvah, but if you repeat the mitzvah again, so then one bracha could be chal on both. Now, what makes tefillin shel rosh similar to tefillin shel yad? And that's called hanocha. So again, if we had a discussion, which we'll get to in mitzvah shem a little later on, I don't know if we'll get to it today or tomorrow, about tefillin. So if you're interested in preparing your son or your grandson for a bar mitzvah drasha, come tomorrow, because we're going to have a long discussion about tefillin. There's one aspect of tefillin that's common to both tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, and there's another aspect of the mitzvah of tefillin which separates tefillin shel rosh from tefillin shel yad. So that's going to be our discussion, b'li nedar, for tomorrow. Stu?
It sounds like a vika similar to mezuzah.
Yeah, maybe it's a chovas bias like mezuzah.
Because if you stop along the way.
Oh, so let's say you have two houses, or for that matter, even two rooms in a house. If you define each room as a bias, and mezuzah is clearly your paradigmic example of a chovas bias, then any hefsek sicha, even according to the Rosh, between bias number one and bias number two, would be a mafsek, and you'd have to make a separate bracha on bias number two. In the case of chovas, I'm not 100% sure. I would like to assume the same mechanics would apply. The reason why I have a doubt about it is because it could be that Bedikas Chometz is not a Chovas bias, but rather it's a Chovas Gavra to make sure that you are completely ownerless of Chometz. You have no ownership. Now here I found an article, which I really wanted to photocopy for you, but I just didn't get a chance. So if anybody wants to do this afterwards, and it's quite a long article. I'm not going to read the whole article to you now. I just want to pull out one or two paragraphs from this article. Just give me a second to find it. Just one second. I'll look at the table of contents. It's usually a shortcut. Yeah, here it is. Okay. He says the following.
Who is this?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that question.
That was going to be a name in there.
That was going to be the punchline at the end of the article. I wrote this article. Yeah. First, I want you to be impressed with the article, and then I was kind of.
That would be impressed from the beginning.
Okay. So he says the following. The Yesh Mefarshim hold the following, that Hefsek Sicha is not just the absence of a Mitzarev. In other words, according to the Sheet of the Yesh Mefarshim, which, by the way, it's not for us now, but actually that Sheet of the Yesh Mefarshim is the Sheet of the Gaonim, way before the Rosh. They have a problem, the Gaonim, because although they may be on board with the concept of the Rosh that you could be mitzarif the bracha to the entire mitzvah so far as it's one single mitzvah, but they hold that there's a new din of hefsek sicha. What does that mean? That hefsek sicha, that if you schmooze about something, hu lo rak heder tziruf, it's not the absence of tziruf. Maybe if it was just the absence of tziruf of connecting the bracha to the end of the mitzvah, then maybe the Rosh could be argued. Ella Havichalos mafsik. This is a concept called a mafsik. A mafsik means something that breaks up a tziruf. Do you follow? So according to the Rosh, all you have to have is a tziruf, and hefsek sicha doesn't break up that tziruf. What power, what force gives you the tziruf? The fact that it's all one mitzvah. Comes along the Gaonim, the Yesh Mefarshim in the Rosh, and they hold hefsek sicha is not just the absence of a tziruf, but it's the existence of some positive force which creates a mafsik. I mean, it's almost like physics. It's almost like we're learning physics here. There's a difference between the concept of something continuing and the concept of something coming to wedge in between and to undermine any sort of continuity. So how do you define hefsek sicha? According to the Rosh, hefsek sicha only applies to two different mitzvahs, because hefsek sicha is not a mafsik, it's just the absence of a mitzarev. And in the case of a bracha on two different mitzvahs, I have to be mitzarev, have to positively link up the bracha with the second mitzvah. That's the Rosh Hashita. Within the same mitzvah, on the other hand, I don't need a positive mitzaref because the mitzvah itself is mitzaref. But according to the Gaonim, Hefsek Sicha is not just the absence of a mitzaref, and you'll tell me, well, if you have a positive force of mitzaref, I'm not going to be bothered by Hefsek Sicha. But Hefsek Sicha itself is a mafsik. It's what we call a mafkia. It's a positive force. Now, there's a Rav Shulchan Aruch, and he says the following. This is in Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Ayin Hey. He says, "Ochal bazechar zeh." He's talking about the mitzvah of matzah and achilos harbe. He had many, many achilos. In other words, he paused and he took a break in the middle of his achila. Im eno mischalekes achila rishona at sofa achroni yosem mikidei achilas pras tainu achilas gibel beitzim yotza. So far, so good. So again, there's a period of time called achilas pras. We'll call it 4 minutes. I'm just there about 18 different sheets on what achilas pras is. But let's call it 4 minutes. So he started eating his matzah at the beginning of this 4 minute period. He completes his achilas matzah within the 4 minute period. He's yotza. Vafilu soch harbe the emtsa kizayis. This is really interesting. What I do at my Seder is, you know, we tell everybody, don't say a word until you finish the kizayis. The Rav Shulchan Aruch says, go ahead and speak in the middle of your kizayis. Why? He says that ain't sorach lachzor ulevarech, because there's no hefsek sicha. Who is the Rav Shulchan Aruch paskening like in the way we... It's like the Rosh. That within one mitzvah, there's an automatic mitzaref. I don't need a positive mitzaref. It continues on its own. Again, according to the Gaonim, they would say that Hefsek Sicha is a mafkia, it's a mafsik. And therefore it breaks up that natural, normal, built-in tziruf. And he says... The Eitzar Chlomer Hamotzi, he says, I don't even have to tell you that there's no problem in the middle of his kizayis as far as the other bracha. All right, there are two brachas here. There's one Hamotzi Lechem Minoritz and one Al Achilas Matzah. He says, Kevan Shlo Hisich Besicha Bein Bracha L'Tchilas Achila. As long as there was no hefsek between the bracha and the beginning of the Achil. And there's one more last thing I wanted to add to this. So David, you were focused on defending the Gaonim from the tirade, from the argument of the Rosh from Sukkah. So I want to suggest the following. How did the Rosh understand the mitzvah of Sukkah, and how did the Gaonim, the Eish Mefarshim, understand the mitzvah of Sukkah? There are two ways of understanding the mitzvah of Sukkah. The Rosh understood that once you enter into the sukkah, anything that continues afterwards is all integrated into one single mitzvah. However, the Gaonim, or the Yesh Mefarshim, they might counter that, you know what? Maybe there should be another problem over here, because every single action that you do in the sukkah is a separate mitzvah unto itself. Now, if that be the case, then the Rosh really has a powerful argument against the Yesh Mefarshim. Because again, what was the machlokes between the Rosh and the Yesh Mefarshim? The Rosh says that since you have one mitzvah, and it's a continuous mitzvah, therefore there's no hefsek sicha, and Sukkah becomes a paradigm example of that, because it's all one mitzvah. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says, Ketzani mitzvah sukkah, ochel, shose, yashem, mitayel v'sukkah. Everything goes on in the sukkah. So it's all one continuous mitzvah. It's exactly like the case of bedikah, which is one continuous mitzvah. It's like the case of matzah in the Rav Shulchan Aruch. It's one continuous achila, one mitzvah. And it's like the case of seudah and birchas hanenim, where the hamotzi is chal on the entire entity of the seudah. But if, on the other hand, we would understand that every single part and parcel, every single action that you do in the sukkah is a separate mitzvah, then we're really in trouble here, according to the Gaonim, because the Gaonim say that if it's in two different mitzvahs, and even the Rosh says it's in two different mitzvahs, you need a positive mitzaref. So what good is the bracha that was mitzvah to the first achila, when now you have another achila, and another shesia, and then you fall asleep in the sukkah, and then you take a teal in the sukkah? Each one is a separate mitzvah. Oh. So Tiritz al ze shamati mimori v'rabi harav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. Interesting. He quotes his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. He says the following. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Sukkah, Kol zman shi yikones leishev basukkah, kol shivas yomim, mevorech kodem sheyeshev, asher kidshanu mitzosim tivanu leishev basukkah. So what does the Rambam mean when he says leishev? He says the following. Nira lefarish. What does the Rambam mean? Bevada yesh mitzvah sukkah afilu ba'omed b'sukkah. Even certainly when you stand in the sukkah, you get a mitzvah sukkah. Ella, if you're standing in the sukkah, he says, then he matzuto b'sukkah. He finds himself in the sukkah. But what is he lacking? What is he missing? In the case where he's inside the sukkah, an action. He says, "Lo nitkina habracha." Again, even though he's mekayim the mitzvah by being in the sukkah, but the bracha itself wasn't established on the kiyum mitzvah, but rather on the maisa mitzvah. And therefore, the Rambam says that when he goes into the sukkah to sit in the sukkah, that action of going in to sit is considered a maisa mitzvah. Again, I don't know if it's entering into the sukkah, but more likely, it is sitting in the sukkah. Lefi zeh. Yesh lomer shem birech b'tchilas yeshivas hasukkah v'yachkach hifzik b'sicha ein tzarech levarech al hemshech sheyosav b'sukkah she'ein levarech ela al maisa mitzvah. The Gaonim would say the following, that you're right, the Rush is absolutely correct. According to all the logical principles that we've established, you would have to make a second bracha on the sukkah if you were mafzik between the first yeshiva and the second yeshiva. But the Gaonim would argue that the reason why you don't do so is because the bracha is established on the yeshiva. And that's what the Rambam formulates. You've already done the yeshiva. Now you've already established yourself in the sukkah. Anything that you do subsequently could, in theory, generate a bracha if there was a hefsek sicha. But since there's no maisa mitzvah of sheikanes l'sukkah amanas leishev, therefore you don't make a bracha. So let me just summarize what we just said. I don't know if you follow. What we're suggesting here in the name of the Rav is that there's a fundamental difference here between sukkah and other mitzvahs. If you were to take the barometer of all mitzvahs and apply it to sukkah, then Enoch Nami, the Rush is 100% correct. Once it was sicha, I need a new bracha on the rest of my... But there's a different halacha that applies uniquely to sukkah based on the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that there's no bracha on being in the sukkah. No matter what you do in the sukkah, the bracha is on entering into the sukkah, sitting in the sukkah. Once you've established your yeshiva b'sukkah, anything that comes subsequently does not require a separate another bracha. Okay, Rabosa. So that's as far as that's concerned. Now, Rabosa, how do we pass on Bedikas Chametz? Who remembers if you take out a Haggadah Shel Pesach, and usually they publish the Bedikah ceremony at the beginning of the Haggadahs, what is the Nusach HaBrach? Al Bir Chametz. So that's the Gemara here that we got up to yesterday. Let's take a look at the Gemara inside. The Hilchasa. If you have a classical Gemara Bavli, you'll see a Tosfos Dibra Maskel Al HaTvila. Do you see that Tosfos? So if you drop, let's say, one line below that Tosfos, the Dibra Maskel that Tosfos, you'll see the Hilchasa. The first word in the line is Leishev. The Hilchasa Al Bir Chametz. And we paskin al bir chametz. So Tosis asks the following question, the Hilchasa. Yachol hu lomar kei. This doesn't make any sense. What do you mean Hilchasa al bir chametz? We just finished saying that everybody agrees levayer. Levayer is certainly lahava mashba for the future, and nobody disagrees. So why are you telling me Hilchasa al bir chametz? He says that what the Gemara means is sha'af ze haloshon mashma lahava. What the Gemara means to say is that you're not required, according to the law, to recite the bracha al birchum. It's upgraded. It goes beyond the shadow of a doubt that you can recite the bracha levayer es hachametz. But the Gemara says hilchasa that you can go ahead if you so choose to do so, and you can be varech al birchametz. Oh, now Tosaf is a second interpretation of the Gemara, shema dafka al birchametz. Now this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Tosis himself knows very well, as the Gemara points out on Daf Zayin of an Aleph, that everybody agrees that Levirus Achometz is an appropriate valid language because it's Lahaba Mashma. So what does Tosis mean that he reinterprets the Gemara in the second Pshat, Shema Dafka Al Birchometz? So for that, Rabosai, we have to go back to the Rosh. And again, I'm hoping you have the Rosh in front of you. And the photocopy that I gave you. I actually have one extra copy if anybody needs. So just get Mitch. And I'll just show you where we're up to. My Mevorek. So the Rosh in this paragraph, My Mevorek, which might be the second paragraph on your page, quotes the Gemara. He gives you a summary of the Gemara. And then he says at the end of that first line, V'ilchasa Al Birchametz. So first he says, like Tosa said in his first Pshat Pirish, Gam Al Birchametz. Said Al Birchametz is acceptable. The Af Al Gav, now he's bothered by our question, De Bilavir Kuli Alma Modu. Everybody agrees that Livir Esachametz is Lahaba Mashma. Ubi Al Birchametz Pligi. So we have a machlokus about Al Birchametz. So why is the Gemara advocating that we use the language of Al Birchametz? And Tosis doesn't give us a clue. Says the Rosh, for this we have to know a sugi in Brachas Daf Nun about the nusach of Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. Gemara has two opinions. Whether you say Motzi Lechem in Aretz or Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. And Amrina B'sech the Brachas B'Birchosov Shal Adam Nikar Shetamid Chacham Hu. In the old days when there was a potential suitor for a person's daughter, you know, they would ask him to see if he knows Hilchas Brachas. Nobody knows Hilchas Brachas. It's too complicated for any one single human being to know. But if you're a bucky, so you'll hopefully you'll pass the test. Now, what does it mean that Mibirchosav Shalom Nikar Shu Talmukho? What is the Gemara trying to convey? So here's the pshat, Rebbe says, as the Rosh is going to develop it. You have a machlokas, but within the context of machlokas, there's one particular case where everybody agrees. You and I would say, well, let's do it the way everybody would agree. Why step into a minefield? But the answer is punkfaket, just the opposite. If we paskin like one mandiomar, then you want to do it like that mandiomar in order to teach Torah to the public. That's what a Talmud Chacham has to do. I don't know if you followed what I said, but hopefully when you see it inside, you'll understand what I mean. He says the following. Hamavarech albir, if he makes the bracha albir, and please keep this in mind in Ritz Hashem on Erev Pesach this year, when you make the bracha albir, nikar shetamid chacham hu. Why? How is he demonstrating that he's a great scholar? Again, he's just reading it from the Haggadah. He's not such a scholar. V'yodea di albir nami lahava mashma. But he knows that even albir is acceptable. In other words, we accept that opinion that the al is indicating lahaba, and it's a valid nusach for a birchas hamitzvah over lasiyasa. Ken Amrina beperkeitz amavarchim. Here he quotes the Gemara brachas on daf lamed ches that they were telling the rabbanon about Rav Zera, that he's a great scholar, so the Chachomim said to him, okay, bring him around. Let's see what a great scholar he is. So when they brought him around, they were very disappointed. Why? Because they gave him bread to eat, and he made the bracha motzi lechem min ha'aretz. And the Gemara says that they said to him, this is a Gavra Rabba, this you talk about him being an outstanding Talmud Chacham. He says, if he would have said Hamotzi, then he would have been teaching us that even Hamotzi is acceptable, because there are two opinions about Hamotzi. With regard to Motzi, is Kuli Amalo Plig, everybody agrees that it's a valid bracha. But he should have taught us, this great scholar Reb Zera, that even Hamotzi is an acceptable nusach. Because any opportunity you have to teach a new halacha, because this was a very controversial issue, then he should have taken a stand on this issue and said, Hamotzi. Alma says the Rush, what do you see from this sugya? Tzorech lashmienu chidush beberchosav. That a person has to tell us a chidush by making a certain bracha. Ulekach nagu, therefore we accepted the minhag levarech al birchametz lashmina. We want to publicly demonstrate the gamzela habamashma. This is also indicative of a mitzvah that I'm about to perform. Shelo yitu lomar, and they shouldn't come to a mistaken conclusion. The al bir l'shaavar, and therefore al bir is an inappropriate nusa because it means l'shaavar on something that happened in the past. And the mistake would be that in birich kach lo yotza, they're going to go out spreading the rumor, a false rumor, that if somebody made the bracha albir chametz, he wasn't yotze. So therefore, dafka, we want to make the bracha be albir to publicly demonstrate that this nusach is indicative of lahaba, and therefore it's a valid nusach. Now, if you go back to Tosis for a minute, he writes the following. We're in the bottom half of a very small Tosfos, Dibra Maskel VeHilchos, and Tosfos says V'yesh Tam BeBrachos. V'ri Lo Matza Tam L'Chol HaBrachos. Now let me try to interpret it the way I understand it. He means the following. According to the first opinion, before the Ri, Yesh Tam BeBrachos. It means the following. Some brachos we recite with a lamed. Other brachos we recite with an al. Tosis takes the stand. Yesh tam bebrachos. There is some rational justification, some explanation for why we choose al in certain cases, in certain mitzvahs, and why we choose lamed in other cases and in other mitzvahs. V'ri lo matza tam l'chol brachos. The Ri says, I could not come up with some consistent set of rules and regulations to justify when we should use al and when we should lamed. And basically, you're left hanging in the air, according to the Ri, that it's just haphazard, it's just coincidental, and that's the way it developed, and maybe the minhag evolved over the course of years, but there's no real explanation that could be consistent. There's no integrity here to say, I always know whether it's going to be a brach with an al or a lamed. Rabosai, what we're going to be interested in is the first opinion of Tosfos. Namely, Yesh Tam B'Brachos. And in order to understand the Yesh Tam B'Brachos, we're going to have to learn the Rush. And again, if you're looking at the Rush, I'll show you where we're up to. It says, Umashe Chilku B'Matbea HaBrachos. So I think if you're counting up from the bottom, it should be approximately 10 lines up from the bottom. The first word in the line is B'Matbea HaBrachos. Yesh Man Shetiknu B'Al. The yesh man shetiknu belamet. Why is it that some brachos you recite with an al, and some brachos with a lamet? Now, Rabosa, before we see Rabbeinu Tam's justification for this distinction, I just want to mention B'Toras Chazora, that when we were learning Chanukah, I pointed out a very strange anomaly. That the bracha on Chanukah is lahadlik ner Chanukah with a lamed. On Megillah, the bracha is al kriya sami, al mikra Megillah, with an al. And the reason I pointed that out to you is because the Ravid, which is not quoted here in the Rosh, he has a very strange shita, that on a bracha on a mitzvah doraisa we make the bracha with a lamed, on a mitzvah drabbana we make a bracha with an al, and his flag and his paradigmic case of a mitzvah drabbana is mikra megillah. So you see that because the mitzvah drabbana we make a bracha on an al. He brings a second proof from the tilas yodayim that there also the bracha is on an al. Then he asks himself his question about al netilas lulav, and he gives an explanation of al netilas lulav. And the bracha on Netilas Lulav should have been with a lamed, because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, at least on the first day. But he doesn't, the Ravid doesn't address the following question. What about Chanukah? Chanukah is a classical mitzvah d'rabbanan, yet the bracha is with a lamed. If according to the Ravid Shita, a mitzvah d'oraisa gets a bracha with a lamed, like Lehaniach Tfilin, then that should be that should be okay for a mitzvah d'oraisa, but in the case of Chanukah, which is clearly a mitzvah d'rabbanan, what shaychus, what justification can you have for lahadlik ner Chanukah? So again, that's just to arouse your curiosity and stimulate your memory for something that we discussed way back when, right here in this room. But Rabbeinu Tam gives another explanation. So Rabbeinu said, what we want to do today is try to figure out, according to Rabbeinu Tam, why certain brachos get a lamed and others get an al. And Rabbeinu said, this is one of the most fascinating sugyas. I manage to get chills in my spine from this sugya because, you know, I was a rascal, and as a kid, I was one of these mischievous kids. And somebody told me that some brachas are with an al and some with a lamed. And I looked at him like really strange. I said to him, you know, come on, like, you have nothing better to do with your time, you know, than to tell me that some brachas with an al and some, like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? This is like the most banal, insignificant thing I ever heard of in my life, at that time in my life. But when I learned this Rabbeinu Tam, this should be like an introduction to Hilchus Mitzvahs in general. Because what Rabbeinu Tam is going to do is he's going to distinguish between two fundamentally different categories of mitzvahs. Not within the classical categorization that we have, namely mitzvahs aseh versus mitzvahs lo aseh. If we're talking about brachas, it's always going to be a mitzvah aseh. Not between mitzvahs aseh shazman groma, mitzvahs aseh shein hazman groma, another classical classification. You have mitzvahs bein odom lechavero, mitzvahs bein odom lemakom, forget about that. We don't have brachas on a mitzvah bein odom lemakom lechavero, so that's not relevant. Or we have a famous distinction in mitzvahs between mitzvahs d'oraisa and mitzvahs d'rabbanan. That's not relevant to Rabbeinu Tam. None of these classical ways of classifying mitzvahs are relevant, says Rabbeinu Tam. Therefore, we have to break new ground. And what I find is amongst the Rishonim, this is just on the side, Rabbeinu Tam is the most radical revolutionary thinker of all the Rishonim. He always has a new perspective, and here he categorizes mitzvahs into two distinct categories. And he says the following. Kol mitzvah shenaseis miyad, if you could highlight that, shayach levarach aleihem al. Now, Rabosa, when you hear the words of Rabbeinu Tam, it's so easy to fall into the mud over here and misunderstand and misrepresent Rabbeinu Tam. Because Rabbeinu Tam talks about a mitzvah shenaseis miyad. Okay, what would you say is miyad? Kol mitzvah shenaseis miyad, mevarach aleihem al. Shayach levarach aleihem al. Now I'm covering over the next three words in Rabbeinu Tam, because I'm going to challenge you in just a minute. But what does the word miyad sound like? It means that it's going to take me how many seconds to complete the mitzvah? 1 second, 10 seconds, right? Miyad. Kigon al mikra megillah. Now, I was once in a minyan. The Balkori was the fastest Balkori that you ever saw. Mitch, you also read the Megillah, right? How long does it take you to read the Megillah? You're an average guy, I see.
25 minutes.
Okay, I was in a minyan. He finished it in 18 minutes.
I was in the same minyan.
You were in the same minyan. They called it the matzah minyan. You know, you can't let matzah ferment for 18 minutes, right? So he finished the Megillah within 18 minutes. It was a tremendous feat. Of course, there were no children there. You know, that's no kunz. You know, they'll go finish the Megillah in 25 minutes when they're children. In any event, I doubt if you could finish the Megillah miyat. So my first point is that we have to see Rabbeinu Tam in some sort of broader and more profound context. Why does Mikra Megillah become his first example of a mitzvah naseis miyat? Okay, so let's keep that in mind, and I'm sure you're ready. You guys are brilliant. You're already thinking of a couple of answers, but certainly Rabbeinu Tam is not looking at a stopwatch, and he's saying miyad means within seconds you fulfill the mitzvah. So we have to know what he means by miyad. And then he has ala tvila. Okay, that's not bad. You know, how long does it take you to go into the mikvah? And probably you fulfill the mitzvah even before you come up from the mikvah. I hope you'll come up. I mean, but that's for sure. But and then he has al netilas yadayim. That's good. Al afrashas truma. Okay, al achilas matzah, borderline. I mean, we said kedei achilas pras. There's one sheet that kedei achilas pras the time it takes to eat Gimel Beitzim is 9 minutes, so that's not exactly beyond. Marar, my gosh. I once tried to fulfill Rabbeinu Tam's miyad in Marar, and they almost took me to the hospital. I mean, because we were using the real Marar, you know, not the romaine lettuce, you know. I don't know what you use for Marar, but we try to feel the Marar. So it's horrible. If you eat it in miyad, it's poshut, you know, call what is it in New York? 411? What is it called?
911.
Call 911. Now let me ask you a question. How long does it take to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin? A man is in a rush, a real rush, not this rush. And he puts on tefillin and he takes it off immediately. Did he fulfill his mitzvah?
Yes,
he fulfilled his mitzvah. And tefillin now becomes the paradigm according to Rabbeinu Tam of a mitzvah she'eino nases miyach. Otif bitzitzis, leishev b'sukkah. Again, if he goes into the sukkah and comes out immediately, you know, let's say it starts raining after he sits in sukkah. He was in sukkah for 3 seconds, so guess what? He fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. He doesn't have to go back into the sukkah when it dries out and repeat himself. And yet, Rabbeinu Tam sees yeshev b'sukkah as a paradigm of a mitzvah that's not miyad. And he amplifies this by saying lechol ulatayel kol hayom. He's going to be inside the sukkah for the entire day. He doesn't have to be there, but he could have left immediately. But if he stays in the sukkah, he's got this continuous mitzvah of sukkah, and that's called a mitzvah she'eino nases miyad. Then he goes on to say lahadlik ner Chanukah. Why is ner Chanukah with a lamed? What is the common denominator between Chanukah and Tefillin, Tzitzis, and Sukkah? Oh, Yesh Shihui B'mitzvos. Rabosai, these are the three key words that have to be highlighted in Rabbeinu Tam. Until you see these three words, he hasn't let the cat out of the bag. What is the other category? One category we said was mitzvah nases miyad. The other category is yesh shihui b'mitzvah. Now, shihui means literally translated to English as a delay, or shall we say an extension of time. You know, it's not, it's got a time factor, so to speak, built in to the very nature of the mitzvah. Now, why is Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah a mitzvah that yesh shihui b'mitzvah? So, says the Gemara, can Amrina b'perek v'memad likim mitzvah mishetishka chama ad shetichle regel v'rashuk. Now the Gemara reinterprets that, and the Gemara says it means within that time period you can light the Ner Chanukah, but hadlokos and mitzvah kav sein zokikla, and immediately he goes out after he lit it, he fulfills the mitzvah. That should be a classical case of a mitzvah hanases miyad, and should get a bracha with an al. But no, says Rabbeinu Tam, yesh shiur b'mitzvah, because when the Gemara says mitzvasim shetishka chama shetichle regel v'rashuk, that's the extended period of Pirsum Anes, and during that extended period of Pirsum Anes, he's got an air dolk. Again, under normal conditions, if the wind didn't come, some unexpected wind, and blow out his neck. V'chein lishmoa kol shofar. I would have said, how long does it take you to blow the shofar? And not only that, on a doraisa level, you fulfill your mitzvah with how many kolos? 9 kolos. All you need is 9 kolos, right? You need 3 truas. Each one is sandwiched by a tequila fanan and a tequila achrev. 9 blasts of the shofar. How long does that take? Says Rabbeinu Tam, yesh shihui, there's a shihui in the mitzvah of shofar. Lahafsoka benat kios. And now he's talking about what we call tkios de miyushav as opposed to tkios de ma'umad. So we begin the process of shofar with which tkios? De miyushav, right? Again, we stand, but it's really, we can sit. When do we have to stand? That's al seder abrachas, which means during the amida of Musaf, during Malchus, the Kronos, and shofars. And he says, the Ikar mitzvah shofar al seder abrachas. So you're making the bracha now on the tkiyos de miyushav, but really the Ikar mitzvah is the tkiyos de ma'umad al seder abrachas. So that's called shihui b'mitzvah. Rabosai, what is going on in this Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam is classifying mitzvahs. Two categories of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs hanasis miyad, and there's a mitzvah sheyeshba shihui. How do I define those two categories? Because, I mean, every time you give me an example, I make a boo-boo and I classify that mitzvah in the wrong category. So obviously I'm not defining the categories right. If you had asked me about Megillah, I would have said that Megillah is a mitzvah, shenas al yidei shihui, you know, you got to read all the psukim, and it's a whole, you know, it's a whole Megillah, literally, and that's mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui. If you had asked me about tefillin, I would have said it's a mitzvah nases miyad. If you asked me about yeshiva basuk, it's also nases miyad. And if you asked me about shofar, I would also say it's nases miyad. It's nine kolos, and that's it. So what is this yesh bo shihui? And his example here of Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui, and therefore it deserves a bracha with a lamed, I mean, to compare that to tefillin, that's pretty way out. Rabosai, I think there are two keys that might unlock the mystery of Rabbeinu Tam. The first key is that when he quotes tefillin as a classic example of a mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui, which gets a bracha with a lamed, he says, Leos me'utar bitfillin. Rabosai, what would be your language if you hadn't seen Rabbeinu Tam and you wanted to define the mitzvah of tefillin? What verb would describe the action of tefillin? Laniach tefillin. Oh, no. He doesn't say laniach tefillin. If he would have used the language of laniach tefillin, that would be a bracha with an al, because that would be a bracha, a mitzvah nases miyad. But instead he uses a different language called me'utar b'tefillin. Or in the case of tzitzis, he calls it leos atuf b'tzitzis. He's very consistent. That, I think, is one key to understand what it means by a mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui. And the second key, me'utar means to be surrounded by, adorned, I think might be a fancy English word, to be adorned with tzitzis. Not sure, I don't think so. Ateris is the root of the word ateris is with a resh in it. Atuf is without a resh. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about tzitzis. Oh, yeah. Me'utar is from the Lashon of Ateris. Yes. I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about Atuf. Oh, now the second key, I think, to understand Rabbeinu Tam is when he says that shofar is a mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui. Why? Because it has two sets of tkiyos. What's the first set of tkiyos? Tkiyos to Me'ush. What's the second set of tkiyos? Tkiyos to Me'um. So here's the deal, Rabosai. According to Rabbeinu Tam, within the classification of a mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui, we have two kinds of mitzvahs that fit this category of yesh bo shihui. One is leos, right? Leos. We'll explain what leos means. And the other is hafsaka, that the mitzvah is broken up with a hafsaka, with an interruption in the middle. So who could tell me what you think Rabbeinu Tam means with the word leos? Leos me'utar b'tfillin, leos atuf b'tzitzis. That makes it a long extended mitzvah and you need the lamed, whereas Megillah is a mitzvah hanases miyad and therefore gets a bracha with an al. Anybody else besides Osha? I just want to get other people into the action. Anybody?
I can understand them all except maybe for Megillah. I can't understand how Megillah
can be. Oh, so why is Megillah a mitzvah nasis miyat?
No.
Oh, you know. Oh, okay. So I thought you had it down.
Maybe the mitzvah is starting it, but not completing it.
No, you have to skip every word.
I think. Wait, I like what you're saying here, Stu. Yeah, what do you mean by starting it and not completing it? If I start it, is that not enough to complete it? I put on my tefillin. And I take it off immediately.
That's fine.
Right? So I'm getting back to your language, Stu. You said he started, but he didn't complete it. So I'm asking you, did he complete it or did he not?
He
That I'm asking you a very complicated question. Do not give me a flat answer. I'm not looking for yes or no. Okay? I'm looking for real profound thinking. A man puts on his tefillin and he takes it off. Did he fulfill his mitzvah? Yes. Did he fulfill his mitzvah? No. What do I mean?
Because there's a different component of keeping tefillin all day. We used to keep tefillin all day.
Okay, a different component. Excellent. I'm pushing a little further. Can you define it? What?
Every second and second is a
different. Yeah. But again, I'm going back to the language of a different component. Every second, you're right, is a different mitzvah. But what is he saying?
Isn't the tefillin making the knot of the mitzvah?
That's an achlokas rishonim, whether sharatim should be taken literally, and that's again a chabad minig that we actually tie the knot to the arm, you know, to the tefillin. But again, leaving that out, Rabosai, I'm looking for one word here, one word.
Intentionally.
This is the word I'm looking for. T W O. Watch what I'm saying. Tefillin is a twofold mitzvah. I asked you the question. I put on my tefillin and I took it off. Did I fulfill the mitzvah or did I not? And I gave you two answers and both of them are correct. It's A and not A. Yes, I did fulfill the mitzvah, but no, I did not fulfill the mitzvah. Why?
Because this
is not peace now. I'm not in the peace now movement.
Go back to two components. There's two components and
Of components, can you give me a Lashon Kodesh word? I'm sorry for components because sometimes the English bothers me. It irritates me. Okay. To what?
Two
kiyumim. Go ahead. Now the floor is yours. Two kiyumim tefillin. What are the two kiyumim tefillin?
So what is the actually?
Again, a Hebrew word. Hanocha, okay. The other is Hanocha, and the other
is
Leos Meuter Mitzvot. Okay, so let's use Rabbeinu Tam's language. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't deny that you could fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin miyad, and therefore the bracha of Al would be appropriate for tefillin, and we're going to soon see that in the case of tefillin shel rosh. But the Rabbeinu Tam wants the entire package. He wants to win the jackpot. And what does it mean he wants to win the jackpot? If tefillin would require a brach with an al, then what aspect of kiyum mitzvah tefillin would be completely left out of the mitzvah? Leos mota mitzvah. Rabbi Tam wants the whole. He wants to win the whole prize. He wants to achieve a bracha that would encompass the entire mitzvah of tefillin, meaning both the maisa hanocha, the act of putting on the tefillin, and the kiyum of lios ma'utav tefillin. Says Rabbeinu Tam, once there are two dimensions to the mitzvah, then we have to change the bracha from an al to a lamed. The lamed indicates that this is a twofold mitzvah. This is a complex mitzvah. It's not a simple mitzvah. It's what you call a hybrid mitzvah. Hybrid mitzvah means it's made up of two kiyumim. One kiyum is laniach, and then the Torah says lios. The Torah says you have to have it on you, and that's a continuous mitzvah. As Daniel said before, it's a continuous mitzvah. So now I have two kiyumim. Let's apply this now to tzitzis. What are the two kiyumim in tzitzis? Well, I wouldn't call it laniach, but what? Litate or to lilboshes as a tzitzis, and then what? Leos, he calls it meudaf betzitzis. We could call it leos lavush betzitzis in our language. Again, just for purposes of whatever makes sense with you. So, how do I gain that second cue? Says Rabbeinu Tam. If you were to make the bracha with an al, that indicates a monolithic mitzvah. What would be, in Rabbeinu Tam's frame of reference, a classical example of a monolithic mitzvah? By the way, is that the right use of the word monolithic? I mean to say one cube.
One dimension.
I don't know. My English is... Yeah, what would be his prime example?
Megillah,
exactly. How many cubes are there in Megillah?
One
cube. How long is it going to take you, Mitch? 25 minutes. That's a mitzvah nases miyad. A mitzvah nases miyad means a mitzvah that has one kiyum. I don't care, says Rabbeinu Tam, how long it takes you until you reach the finish line. Until you come in first and you win the prize. It may take you 25 minutes, it may take you an hour and 25 minutes. But the answer is, it's one kiyum. And if it's one kiyum, then it's a mitzvah nases miyad. But says and tefillah.
And therefore, which do you use?
Al means on this kiyum that I'm doing now. Lamed means on a kiyum that is down the line. It may take me ages until I get the second kiyum, but that second kiyum is considered in lamed. And therefore, the lamed is appropriate for any mitzvah that extends over a period of time. Now, how can I prove to you in the case of shofar that the mitzvah of shofar is a mitzvah that extends over a period of time?
Because
of the halach of hefsek. The halach of hefsek itself that's built into the mitzvah of shofar, that the way the mitzvah of shofar is fulfilled, we have one set of tkiyas, we have another set of tkiyas, and in between we wedge a hefsek. That means that it's a multifaceted mitzvah. There's going to be one mitzvah of tkiyas to miyushav and another mitzvah of tkiyas to mu'uman. How does Rabbeinu Tam know that Chanukah is a mitzvah sheyesh ba shihui? Again, I need an answer with two. What are the two kiyumim in Chanukah? Excellent adlaka. Okay, what do we call it in our language? Those who were with me for all the months that we spent on Chanukah? Ner Doluk. Who remembers that phrase? Ner Doluk. There are two mitzvahs in Chanukah. One is the Mais Adlaka and the other is Ner Doluk. And here Rabbeinu Tam pulls a fast one on us. He says that even if you define the mitzvah, what's critical to the mitzvah as a Maisa Hadlaka, it doesn't matter. There's a second kiyum. And the bracha is going to be formulated to reflect the ideal mitzvah, not the cheapo mitzvah. Yeah, cheapo, you can get away with murder. You lit the candle and the wind blew it out. Okay, we paskin Hadlakos a mitzvah and Kofsein Zokukla. Says Rabbeinu Tam, but that's not the ideal mitzvah. The ideal mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is that should last from Shkia Sachama until Achetich L'Regel Menashuk, because that's the mitzvah of Ner Doluk. And in order to indicate that this is a complex mitzvah, we're going to make the bracha with a lamed. So a mitzvah that has only one single kiyum, I don't care how long it takes you to achieve that kiyum, is going to be with an al. Al means immediately I have this one kiyum. What does immediately mean? It could be a minute, a second, or an hour and a half. It's irrelevant. But if you have a mitzvah that has two component parts to it, that has two kiyumim to it, that's a mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui. The idea of shihui means I have to obtain another mitzvah. And that other kiyuma mitzvah is going to completely revolutionize and change the nusach habro. Rabbi said, we'll have to stop here because I see that it's late. And B'li Neder, tomorrow we'll try to wrap this all up. Again, what I want you to walk home with is yesh tam lemitzvahs. Okay? Yesh tam lebrachos. Right, Rabbeinu Tam. Correct. Tam with a tes and tam with a tov. What do you say? Yesh tam lebrachos. I said yesh tam lemitzvahs. I meant to say tam lebrachos.
So you can have a hefsek in all of these. Whenever you have an al, it would seem that whenever you can have a look, you're also allowed to have a hefsek in that mitzvah. In other words, even sukkah, that's what you said before, the brush you bring down about sukkah, you could have a hefsek. Because it's a
right.
Little bit
right. So I'm going to try to suggest the following: that in Sukkah there are two kiyumim. There's one kiyum of a Maisa Yeshiva, and that was the Rambam says that they established the bracha on a Maisa Yeshiva, and then there's a kiyum of being in the Sukkah,
right.
And that continuous state of being in the Sukkah is a kiyum of mitzvah of Teshuv Kei Tadur. Mela, therefore, it's a complex hybrid mitzvah, and therefore deserves and requires a bracha with a Rambam. Okay then. Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbat. Again, two mitzvahs. As soon as Rabbeinu Tam sees the lamed, he automatically answers there are two mitzvahs, two kiyumim. There's one kiyum of lighting the Ner, that's called Kvod Shabbos, and then there's a kiyum of Onik Shabbos, that as long as I enjoy the benefit of the Ner, that continuous period of time, that's also a cue of Ner Shabbos.
So there's like a prerequisite mitzvah, and there's the actual mitzvah.
So a component.
I wouldn't say prerequisite and actual. I would say there's the critical part of the mitzvah, and then there's a second and additional dimension which embellishes the mitzvah.
So if you can't do mitzvah B without doing mitzvah A. You can't do Onik Shabbos.
I don't know. I'm not sure what you mean by that. Yeah, go ahead. In the case of Ner Shabbos,
you can't do Onik Shabbos without lighting the candles, unless if someone else does it for you.
I would say the fine. Let's say you lit the candle on Friday morning.
Right.
a very long candle. You put in a tremendous volume of oil in it, and then you eat your Suda Shabbos 12 hours later to the Nair. That would be a case where you're lacking the first mitzvah, namely the Maisa of Hadlaka, because Hadlaka on Erev Shabbos at 9 in the morning is not Hadlaka, it's not a mitzvah. But nevertheless, you'd have the kiyum of Onik Shabbos, of the ongoing Nair. I would say no. Oh, make a bracha at night?
No, in the morning.
Oh, for sure. The bracha is always established on the main Maisa mitzvah.
That's not.
I'm so excited about this Rebbe Tam. I mean, you know, because he's breathing life into something that looks like a dead horse, if you pardon the expression. What difference does it make? As a kid, I couldn't tell. Why? Who cares? A lamed and owl? Like, why should it bother me?
No other portion had this slant?
No. But we're going to see another two mepharshim, but this is the original Rabbeinu Tam, the real original.
Tomorrow I have to leave at 9:15.
That's fine. Whenever you have to leave, I always say that it's there's no kafaleh harkigis.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. All the best.